You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're listening to the Cooligans in the first segment. Today, we're going to be talking about the Euros. Oh, my God. So many different things are happening. Wales beats Belgium. Robinson Cano comes out from the Seattle Mariners, scores a beautiful goal. He doesn't play for any team just yet. I'm sure somebody's going to buy him. Portugal can't win unless it's in penalties. Italy beats Germany. No, they don't. They lose also in penalties. Can Iceland keep that dream going? No, they can't.
In segment number two, we talk about MLS. We talk about NYCFC. They have defeated the Red Bulls. It's happened. The miracle on grass at Yankee Stadium. I like to call it the miracle at first base. Tim Howard is also back in the MLS. He got a clean sheet against Portland. What a return. FC Dallas, an absolute drubbing of Orlando City, and LA Galaxy defeat Vancouver. We got a worldie from Kane. We got Gerard. He has his jersey was messed up, and another De Jong red card.
Oh, man. In the third segment, it's Cooligans Corner. We're going to talk about Mourinho. First time he gets a microphone in front of his mouth as a Manchester United manager. He is talking garbage about Wenger. He is throwing shots everywhere. He's even telling the truth about Rooney. It's absolutely amazing. What's happening in Argentina? You better be wearing a hard hat because it's completely falling apart. Just like Will Johnson's knee did in the Canadian Championship, but they won, and that's fine. We also talk about the MLS Players Union. How stupid is this Foos guy? You'll find out that and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah.
It's the Cooligans.
Yeah, we are. Oh, man.
Hey, everybody.
Fun week. I hope everyone had fun. You know, we celebrated our nation's independence.
We did. Yeah. How'd you celebrate?
I stayed as woke as possible. No, I'm kidding. I did not do much on the 4th, but on the 3rd, I was out. I went out. We went up to a friend's place up in what's considered Westchester, but it's like an hour and 15 minutes away.
Okay.
And there's like horses there. The neighbor has a bull.
A bull?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, this can't be New York. It seemed even too far for me to be upstate, but it's still considered Westchester, which is insane. Which, for those of you who don't know, that's like the first county outside of New York City. So
yeah,
like
it's a lot of wealthy people use that's New York City suburbs.
It's also like Yonkers is there where DMX and the Lox are from. So it's not exactly like it starts off like rough and then it gets like really, really nice. And apparently if you keep driving, it becomes like,
rural,
living in central Texas, apparently.
That's so wild. Cause I mean, in Westchester, you think of your neighbor having a boat, not a bull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe owning a horse, you know, like a part of a racehorse, not very odd. But, you know, huge, huge backyard, and we played a little soccer and amazing food and, Macy's, level of fireworks, mere feet from your face.
Oh, sure.
Perfect place.
Little Jason Pierre-Paul style. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they were starting to take bets over who was going to lose fingers, so it was perfect.
I sort of feel, I don't know if you feel this way about Independence Day, but I feel like the older we get and the more sort of progressive and, like you said the word woke, the more guilty you feel about celebrating America's independence because, after America got independent, it wasn't like, hey, let's be nice to everybody.
It wasn't independence for everybody.
It was a select few that were truly independent.
Keep that in mind when voting in a few months.
So, yeah, but I tried my, I also went to Prospect Park in Brooklyn, kicked the soccer ball around, had a good little time. So what a week.
Right?
I mean, there's been so much. Again, everybody, thank you for listening. We are the Cooligans. I'm Christian Polanco. Alexis Guerreros. And everything, Euros are winding down.
Oh.
MLS is...
Doesn't it feel weird without the Copa? Like, I look around at night and I'm just on stage like, I wish Chile was playing Paraguay right now.
Yeah, it's almost like we wish the tournament was like a six-month-long tournament. It would have been...
It'd be great. We should let the teams that didn't qualify now play.
Yeah.
You know, like Belize versus Guyana.
Yeah. Those are some, you can't miss those games.
Atrocious.
Belize, Guyana. Yeah, those two soccer powerhouses. Yeah,
yeah. when you strike fear in the eyes of many.
Well, we're gonna start off with the Euros. We're gonna talk about MLS because MLS had an absolutely insane weekend. But we're gonna start off with the Euros. The Euros are almost over.
And I know, so sad.
It is sad.
It's coming down to the last four teams. This is the final four.
We have Portugal against Wales, and we have Germany against France. That's already a final, that Germany-France game. So,
and I picked France at the beginning of all this.
You picked France, yeah.
How's your team doing? Who did you pick again?
Oh, I mean, no, England, they're falling apart.
Yeah, they're completely falling apart.
It has nothing to do. Yeah, the loss.
How bad at England are England? They're looking at Jurgen Klinsmann as a replacement.
That's right. That's right.
Not good when you want to steal the Americans' coach. This is a big moment. Big moment for England. A lot of self-doubt.
But these four games.
They're not in it.
Yeah, these two games are obviously going to be exciting, but the quarterfinal was pretty intense. So many people didn't expect sort of the results that we had. We sort of look. So we'll start with Iceland and France. We didn't expect Iceland.
Some people were like, Iceland might win this whole thing. Do you really think that?
That's not going to happen.
That's not happening.
But it was they played
Cinderella story. It was fun.
They were down 4-0, and they didn't quit. And you know. I mean, there were so many amazing.
Of course they didn't. And that's what they're used to playing at, down by four. They've never won this much.
Yeah.
This is, you know.
But after, you know, after the tournament that they've already had, you would have thought, like, being down 4-0 to France, you would have thought they would have just sort of quit to some degree. But they really did. They got two more.
Right, they did. And I think France still scored another one. So it was 5-2.
Five-two.
I mean, you know, look. France, I think, has a way of just winning competitions on their home soil. I've said that before. They're going to win it. So not the greatest team for Iceland to go against. Had Iceland gone against Wales or Belgium or Portugal, I think they probably would have had a chance to win.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
I just think Germany and or France were the two teams they didn't want to go against, or Italy, because two players going, you touch the ball. No, you touch the ball. No, you touch the ball. Both of them being super defensive.
But props to them because they got back to Iceland, and there were 33,000 people waiting for them.
How insane is that?
Which, doing the
comparable, that's like everyone who lives on the East Coast.
Yeah, man.
If you do the percentage. I mean, that's a lot of their people.
Yeah. And they did a 33,000 person thunderclap.
Right.
And,
which super intimidating.
I think made like a glacier fall apart. That's too much of a vibration.
And a guy in a Viking hat holding a mallet came out of came out of that mountain.
Oh my goodness. So props to Iceland. I mean, what a story.
It's so incredible. I mean, it was a fun run too. I think it added something in the beginning, especially where there wasn't much happening. You know, the Euros were a little bit more boring in the run up, you know, to the knockout stages, and it just made it a lot more. I mean, and really just to be in long enough to knock out England and to see England just go absolutely apeshit. It's so funny that they're like, oh my God, it's the worst day ever. And then the other people are like, yeah, of course we're going to lose to Iceland. That's the most English thing we can do. So if they stayed in long enough just to cause that week's worth of banter, great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Iceland.
And the more I read about Iceland's story, I read about how much they are absolutely obsessed with the Premier League and how much they really like envy England to some degree, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, this is, they don't even have a league of their own. They have a team.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, for them to watch, you know, the English Premier League, like we did, you know, like a lot of Americans look at the English Premier League as the best league in the world. And you watch it and you want to play like those guys. And those are the teams that you want to play for when you're a kid. And I know MLS is making strides, but until recently, you know, kids dream about playing for Manchester United, not so much, you know, Red Bull. You know what I mean? Now that those things are changing now.
Yeah.
You know, in Iceland, it's still, they don't have a league of their own. So it's still, you know, it's still Premier League.
But the fact that they got to defeat England.
Oh God.
Made that welcome. I mean, it you know, even if they lost England, they would have still received that welcome when they got back home.
Sure.
But it made it
for scoring a goal.
Yeah.
You know,
beautiful, beautiful story. So, some of the other games,
that were pretty incredible. We have to talk about Germany against Italy. Great. Not the most exciting game. The first half.
I mean,
a little slow. The first.
I drank like five cups of coffee during that thing. Stay awake. Slap myself in the face a couple times.
This is. I think this is the thing we've been most frustrated about with the Euros is the fact that we see these big teams and we expect just a lot more excitement and we just don't get it. And I don't know if it's a thing where strategically they just kind of cancel each other out. They just try to.
Right.
Make they
play like they're both on the road, like sit back.
Yeah,
and wait,
yeah. They're trying to like cancel out each other's strengths. So you would expect a little more. Great goal from Ozil. And then I forgot who the handball. There was a handball. I forgot who it was, but
Boateng.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, because that's right. He did like he tried to guard the way you post up in the NBA.
Right.
Like, you know, like arms up, like you ref, look, I'm not touching.
Hands up, don't shoot. Kind of a thing.
It was all that. And it was the most poor choice of the, like, yeah. It made no sense.
It was like the worst thing you could do besides just kick the ref. Like, that's obviously a mistake. This was so dumb. He just put his hands up. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, everyone was like, oh, Boateng getting a red card, obviously, but we're a penalty. Of course he would. It sucks. You know, it's like, geez, this is the Euros.
Yeah.
You know, and without that, I don't think Italy would have had much of a chance.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
They were playing so poorly. They had five good minutes at the end of the first half, and that's it.
Yeah, the game ended up in penalties, and boy, I was I expected Germany to win. Germany's been so strong throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
And Germany missed the first three of their five penalties. So once they started missing, I'm like, damn, Italy's going to, steal this one.
I thought they got the second one in.
No, I mean, not in the order. I mean, three of the five.
Three of the first. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
But then Italy decided to miss everything.
Well, if you're Zaza, then yeah. The only thing you didn't miss was someone eating ice cream on the third tier. Smash them right in the face.
Man. So if you haven't
seen. Ozil. I mean, I know you're going to talk about Italy. Go ahead.
Yeah. But no. Yeah, I was just going to talk. The Zaza penalty, which has already went viral. Immediately, because
as it was happening, people were yelling, "Don't do it! Stop it! This is going to go viral."
Zaza, and it was reported because Zaza came in right at the end of the second extra time,
right.
Because they subbed out Chiellini so that he could kick the penalty,
right?
And it was written about that he ran more. He's like the first player to run more on the pitch in the penalty than the actual time in the game.
Right.
So he spent more energy doing that run up than
he did playing
in the game.
And if you're Conte, you're like, smart move, right? I'm replacing this guy. He's going to be for the penalty.
Uh-huh.
And then he shanks it in here. He's like, you're going to make me look like an asshole this whole time.
So if you haven't seen this penalty, I mean, it was I don't know how to explain it. He just jogged sort of in place.
In place. It looked like he was like, there's a movie where they do that. It's like a musical montage. I can't remember the movie where like you kind of like it looks like you're running upstairs in space in one place, and
okay.
He kind of did that.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was trying to throw off the timing of the keeper.
Yeah,
but they have a bunch of different memes. One of them is it's like two kids doing what's that? It's not hopscotch. What's the double dutch?
Double dutch. Yeah,
double dutch. So there's like a jump rope running around him.
Yeah,
so it kind of looks like he's doing double dutch in one spot. It was so dumb.
It looks like someone on a Stairmaster. You
yes.
know, he's like really trying to work. Like it's like the when you see someone jogging.
Yeah.
And then like if you see someone jogging in a city and then they get to a street corner and they have to like wait for the cars to go by,
but they keep pace.
They keep pace of the run.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's basically what he was doing, and it looked like really, really like cute. You know, if he would have made it, it would have just been like, look at that quirky penalty,
right? Yeah, but I you could watch that, and my first thought was, oh, he's really nervous. You know? it looks like he's trying to tell him, like, come on, man, run forward.
Yeah.
My legs are moving. Run, body, run. The body didn't want to kick the ball, and for good reason. We saw what happens when you did.
Well, you know what? I think this has something to do with... So at the beginning of the month, the beginning of June, right, they instituted the new rule of how you take a penalty where you're not allowed to stutter. You're not allowed to stop your run.
You're not allowed to stop your run. That's been for a while, but now they've like expanded it.
Yeah, I think they're like keeping an eye out for it
right.
a lot more. And
at the same time, they're really monitoring if keepers jump off their line.
Exactly. Except if it's an right. MLS keeper who just wants to just hop right
or
out.
Or Belgium. Not Belgium. What's it, who's the Romanian? Hungary's.
Hungary that
the
way.
The dude with the sweatpants? He jumps off his line left and right.
But he... So this has been a... During the game when they're calling it, they talk about the rule often, but it doesn't seem like they're calling it at all.
Right, right.
Because I don't know how to interpret what's a stutter step or not, or what's stopping the run, because what a lot of the players do, and some of the Italian players did it, they run, right? They mm-hmm. and they slow down, and then they drag their foot. Like they keep their foot on the ground, but they drag it across the ground.
Right.
And like the point of their toe, and you're technically stuttering as you do that. You're not stopping entirely, but I think this is affecting a lot of the way players take their penalties, because the stutter allows you to see where the goalkeeper is going to lean.
Right, it allows you to sort of hope that he's going to start going towards one direction. But to be honest, I don't think that gives you any advantage either, because a lot of goalkeepers will start faking to the left and jump right. I'm not a huge fan of penalties.
I just think it's affecting the players in the Euros psychologically. There've been so many penalties and they have to sort of change the way they do it. And I think they're getting it sort of in their head as it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, and if that's probably what happened to Zaza.
Yeah, that's so bad.
Unless he said he was like... go! You know?
He shanked it, you know. I mean, it was bad.
Messi's kick looked better.
Messi's kick did look better, and he had better form.
Yeah, Ozil's kick was, I mean...
Zaza announced he was going to retire right after as well.
Actually, Messi announced that Zaza was going to retire. That's how bad it was.
They're going to go vacation. And
he's going to console him. He's going to console him in Fiji.
He needs it.
Ozil was one of those players where it honestly looked like the post moved in. Like, his kick looked perfect. Yeah. And then when I heard the sound of the post, I was like, what?
Wow, there must be some mistake.
He beat everyone.
a surprising miss. Germany appeared to be more nervous than they were. You thought they were like, going to be like the cold-hearted machine that they normally are. But no, I personally think they got lucky. Italy just, Graziano Pelle, another one. Terrible.
Oh my God.
Terrible miss.
You know, I mean, if the keeper stops you, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you miss on your own, that you fake, you know, you faked yourself out. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's the worst. As a professional, that has to be the worst. Like, if you go up and you bomb because the audience isn't paying attention, or checks get dropped for everyone listening, that's when they drop like the bills for everyone to pay. They stop paying attention to the comedian or, you know, I don't know, something else. Or you go up, the crowd's great. They love you. They love everyone else, but you flub a lot of your jokes. You feel like an asshole. You know, everything else, you're going to feel like a jerk. But you're like, oh, well, it was all these other things. So at the end of the day, you could have like, you know, you can go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but when you mess up your own jokes, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I even meant to do this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is only my fault. There's nobody else's fault.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's not an exam. All I got to do is just say the words I wrote down.
It would have hit. They would have carried me out of here.
I know they work. I've said them before.
You saw what the last guy was doing? They would have loved mine actual jokes, you know?
But yeah, so I think Germany got very lucky. It was very strange. It was a very strange two teams that normally you sort of would expect a little bit more consistent team from.
Absolutely.
Didn't really bring it, but good on Germany. Obviously, getting to see a Germany-France semifinal is going to be exciting. Belgium also got knocked out by Wales. We were talking about it before. Belgium...
Speaking of messing up on your own, that's Belgium.
Very expected. So much more.
Mistakes left and right. That team didn't look cohesive to begin with.
Yeah.
Fellaini looked terrible.
A lot of problems. But I think the highlight of that match was the goal by Robson Cano.
Robinson Cano?
Robinson Cano. Exactly. He's Dominican.
He's very good at baseball. Incredible at soccer.
I didn't look him up too much, but I don't think he even has a club. He's not even playing with anybody at the moment. And
who was he with though? Wasn't he with he was with a German team?
Let's look it up. Robson Cano. But he had an absolutely incredible goal. He did a Cruyff turn right on the penalty spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
He was covered by three defenders, and all of a sudden, no one was there.
I've never seen, like, three defenders be so, like, they almost seemed so impressed that they were like, all right, we got to let him take this one because that was a good move.
Incredible.
He did that Cruyff turn right in the center of the box, and a blast right past the keeper. I mean, what is he going to do? Thibaut Courtois.
There's nothing you can do. Not when someone's that close with no one in front of him.
Yeah. And
it's as if someone got to kick the penalty ball forward a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how far forward he was.
Nobody expected him to do that. And I think that tends to happen with, like, when a player is not really popular. Like, if that was Messi wouldn't be able to do that move there because they would play him so tight. They would just put a body on him. But Robson Cano, they're like, no, he's a nobody. There's no way he's going to do this.
Right.
And completely humiliated. I mean, you know, the left back and the two center backs there.
I mean, it was amazing. He was playing in League One. I think the last contract he had was Swindon Town.
Wow.
He played with Arsenal up until 2004. I mean, I remember the name, but I don't remember him doing much. Then he went to go play for Reading till 2007. Then he was at loans in Southend United. And Swindon Town. I mean,
yeah,
this has to up his value. Exactly. That move alone.
Yeah, that was that's what's cool about these tournaments to some degree, because it's like you can get these stars come out of kind of like nowhere.
Right.
And yeah, that move
like
alone.
Like Leicester City buying everyone in Iceland.
Yeah. So, that was absolutely incredible.
So Wales, Portugal. I mean, who do you think is going to prosper there?
Well, Aaron Ramsey's not going to be there. So that's huge.
Tough.
That's a big piece.
For everyone who doesn't know, he's going to dye his hair more.
He has a hair appointment he cannot cancel.
Very important.
He's like, my roots are showing.
Yeah, this color person is very good. Very high in demand. Has a lot of Instagram followers.
I want to say Portugal. I feel like Portugal can do. I think they're going to, it's probably going to go to penalties or whatever.
I would love for Cristiano Ronaldo to get to a final, you know, and then miss his penalty so that the argument between who's better, him or Messi, continues.
Okay. But it's going to be Bale Ronaldo. This is the matchup that everybody's kind of excited about.
They hate each other. Ronaldo all of a sudden lines up as a defender. Go ahead, get past me, bruh.
Yeah, just get in front of every wall. Just don't you dare.
Nah, son.
I think Portugal, because Ramsey's not there, I think Portugal has a better chance.
Yeah, I would agree. I also think they have a bit more talent.
Yeah, and
I'm not sure if they have the heart or the management.
But there's news that Pepe might miss the match because of an injury. So I think if Pepe's not there...
What's the injury? Did he hurt the bottom of his foot that he can't keep ramming into other players?
Don't you hate that injury? When you're just trying to be honest, you're just trying to honestly injure others,
right?
And all of a sudden
you get injured. Does that seem fair to anybody?
Is there even a God?
There should be a lawyer for that. Call 1-800 Polanco and Guerrero's Associates. If you tried to injure someone, but in turn injured yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think.
Do you think he really is injured, or do you think he's faking it?
Well, he didn't.
He's rolling on the ground right now.
He missed training. Yeah.
He's rolling on the ground in his apartment right now. just get up.
Relaxing on a yoga mat. I don't know. I think Portugal's probably going to take it, even without Pepe. But I mean, I think it's going to be pretty close, especially if both of those players, if Ramsey and Pepe are missing. I think it's 50-50, but I'm going to go with
Portugal. This one is a crapshoot. Germany, France, tough one.
That's going
to
be
here. You said England, so you pick someone else. You have four teams to pick from: Portugal, Wales, Germany, France. Who do you think wins the whole thing?
It looks like France.
All right. Well, that's who I picked from the beginning, so I'm sticking to my guns.
Yeah, I don't see. Germany might be able to do it, but I don't see them beating France.
This is the tough one. This is Thursday at 3 p.m. If you're on the East Coast, this is going to be a huge match. This, like you said, is another final. So you guys get two finals. Germany versus France. This is essentially like a final. This is
and when you think of France against either Portugal or Wales, I mean, it's not even. They're going to absolutely demolish them. Did you see the Griezmann goal?
Which one?
The one that Giroud let it go by.
Oh, that's right.
That run was, I mean, one of the most, it was art.
And Griezmann, by the way, re-upped for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
And now Diego Costa wants out of Chelsea so he can re-sign with Atletico Madrid.
They don't even need him.
They don't need him.
They don't need him at all.
Nobody wants him. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun to see what happens. Griezmann looks great. Really loves Spain. Giroud looks, again, like Giroud, and then he's going to go to Arsenal. He's not going to score for 15 matches in a row.
He did, he got two goals in that game, I think, right? Yeah. Or one against Iceland, I'm not sure. But, man, France, it'll be very disappointing if France doesn't win it. I mean, I think that's how everybody...
It's set up for them to win.
Yeah.
The big test, honestly, is going to be Germany, because I don't think it's going to be that hard for them to beat Wales or Portugal,
yeah,
if I can be completely honest. So...
All right, guys. Well, let's get to segment number two.
Yeah.
MLS. Man.
Let's take a break.
It's been great. Tim Howard is back. NYCFC has defeated
Goliath. They have won a derby.
They have defeated Goliath.
Yeah, yeah.
It finally happened.
When you think of Goliath, you think of Bradley Wright Phillips, don't you?
All right. So we'll get back to you and we'll talk about some MLS.
Got a bunch of games in the MLS. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Alexis from the Cooligans.
This is Christian from the Cooligans.
And I know you guys have been asking for a long time. We finally got some merch, baby.
Merch.
And how can you get it? Well, you're going to have to send us a lot of money. And actually, we're going to give it to you for free.
Yeah, we got some stickers. We finally got some Cooligans stickers. And if you want one, really, really simple. All you got to do is just beg for it.
Actually, all you have to do is email us.
Just
email us at soccercooligans@gmail.com. That's it. soccercooligans@gmail.com.
That's right. So just email us, tell us where you want the sticker sent, and we'll send it right over.
And hey, take one for yourself, share some with your friends. How amazing is that?
Yep.
Let everybody know you love the Cooligans.
Paste it wherever you like. They make great pasties for your nipples.
Oh, vandalism also. Whatever you guys want.
Yes, vandalism. We highly recommend vandalism only if it is a Cooligan sticker. We are back.
Yeah, baby.
We are back, everybody.
All right.
Welcome back with some MLS.
Here it is. I mean, this is the fun part of the season. You know, we're starting to see who's for real, who isn't. It's not that, you know, people still have a shot.
Yeah.
You know, people still have a chance. You know, if you're a fan of a team like, let's say, DC United or Sporting Kansas City, doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to finish near the top. But, you know, we're looking at right now. Top of the East, baby.
NYCFC.
Which also, since we're speaking about MLS, this is the first time that we could say this on this podcast. We were listed by the MLS.
We were. We remember, if you listen a couple episodes back.
Put us on that damn list.
Put us on that.
The name of the episode.
I believe 44. Put us on that damn list.
Guess what? They listen.
They listen.
Yeah. I would like to thank Gabriel Castillo for putting us on the list. It means a lot to us. It may not, you know, seem like a big deal, but for us, you know, we've been working really hard at this for a little over a year, right?
A little less than a year. It's about to be a year.
We should do something.
We should.
But yeah, we've been working really hard at this and, you know, to get a little bit, you know, look, we're right above what, soccer scumbags or something like that.
Right above. Yeah. So that's good. At least we're above the soccer scumbags.
We're above them. I mean, granted, it's alphabetical order and maybe, you know, we're listed as soccer Cooligans as opposed to the Cooligans.
But then if we were listed as the Cooligans, we would have been under the soccer scumbag.
Why? No, you don't use the T.
Technically.
You go with C.
Yeah.
The Cooligans, so we're all the way up. All the way up. So listen, beautiful to be listed. In it, it says that, you know, be prepared for a lot of NYCFC talk. If we're all being honest, we have tried to become a bit more universal. And
yeah,
I think we've done that.
We've tried, yeah.
So you're definitely going to get some NYCFC talk because we're both fans. And as NYCFC fans, what a weekend.
What a weekend, yeah. Man, this was... look,
a long time coming. What are you going
to
say?
It had to happen at some point.
Yeah.
The NYCFC finally defeats the Red Bulls 2-0.
We all thought it was going to happen last time, the last match, and then we lost 7-0.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think everyone was just like, is this it? Another season of... And then we lost to the Cosmos again.
Yeah.
You know, so is this another season of not winning any of our derbies? 6 in a row we lost.
Yeah. So
disheartening.
NYCFC was like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah.
6 losses
I think they got the point.
Okay, we get it. You guys are... New York is red. Yeah. I get it, right?
Not anymore.
So, I mean... If you didn't see this game, it was on ESPN. It was the first MLS game on Sunday. And how, I mean, for, as NYCFC fans, you know, I was there. You sadly were not there.
I was not able to go. Very upset.
So it was a bummer to not have you there and not have you, you know, not be able to celebrate that that moment together.
Right.
But man, it really felt. It was an emotional experience. It was just as emotional as the 7-0 loss, right?
Right.
Because it was, you know, that was humiliating. And as a fan of a team, I've never felt this. I've never felt true embarrassed. Like it was partly my fault.
Yes. I didn't sing loud enough.
If I just would have brought 110% that game.
I gotta wake up earlier.
I gotta start eating better. Yeah. Everything has to change.
I'm calling my mother more.
It was exciting and it was great because look, Yankee Stadium was filled with all the tension of like, is this gonna happen again? Are we gonna lose this badly again? And 10 minutes in, Jack Harrison took that pressure off of New York City.
Put his arms around everyone's shoulder and just said, hey, I got this.
I got this. And
relax, I'm here now.
And it was comforting, and we caressed his perfect hair, and we felt at home.
Let him read us a story in his beautiful British accent, semi-British accent.
He's still, you know, he is young, so he read the story. He pronounced some of the words incorrectly, but it's still fun.
Truth be told, we had to take over at one point. You know what? You lay down. We got this.
We got this.
But it was, you know, I mean, look, his mom sits in the stands and all that. And I know you guys aren't all NYCFC fans, so we'll get off of it. But as a fan of MLS, people talk about, you know, people who don't watch MLS make fun of it. They say that, you know, it's bullshit and there's no real fandom. And let me tell you something. Watching that 7-0 loss, you couldn't tell me that there wasn't real passion there. You know, furious for a long time. We were upset for over a week.
Real heartache.
And then watching this win and not being able to be there, but seeing all the, you know, the tweets and all the text messages I was getting and you know, everyone posting in the fan board and all that. It was kind of beautiful. It was kind of fun to see. And if you're an MLS fan, we have a star on the rise, man. This Jack Harrison, we've talked about him in the past, you know, and we have a little something coming out maybe soon.
Yeah, you hear him at the beginning of the show. Introduce us.
That's right. He introduces us, which is about time. Thank you. That we got a superstar to do that, which speaking of, we might want to take Kyrie off of there, but you know, it's legitimately, this is someone that is exciting in the league to watch. Manchester United product at one point. And look, you know, he's 19 years old. Let's not give him too much credit just yet, but looks kind of, he looks like he's the real deal.
He has real promise. Yeah,
you know, I mean, who likes him? David Villa. David Villa's likes like, thank you.
Vieira keeps talking about him. Just says that he's just a kid with talent.
He said the best is yet to come, which is even more wonderful to hear.
Jack Harrison, the difference between, you know, in the first derby, Jack Harrison didn't come into, they were already like about 5-0 down. So he just went out there just to run some laps, basically.
Yeah. He's like, hey, try to help not get it to 10.
And I mean, this game, he started, he looked confident. I mean, it's just not a thing you really expect outside of the designated players.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, he looked like one of the designated players out there.
Just a kid with absolute skill. Really knows every. I was reading more about him, and what a lot of people are saying is that he's just so smart with the ball. Every touch he takes is always a positive touch. It's always it going in the right direction. And and he's young and he's athletic and all that stuff. But he's just he's just a smart player for being 19 years old. And you know, like we look at our other young players, we look at Kyrie. He was the second pick last year
behind Kyle Lowry. Yeah,
and. That's what Kyrie should be.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what we thought we were getting with Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know?
And Kyrie is, if you compare the two, I mean, the big difference you see is that, you know, Kyrie is an athletic player. He's the fastest guy on the pitch in almost every any time. Game he plays.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make the correct decision or as strong decisions as Jack does.
Right. And not to beat up Kyrie, because I think he has a ton of potential and he's at a great price. And look, again, he's only been in the league for 2 years, mm-hmm. you know, just to say he's literally been here since day one, you know, and you got to give the kid some opportunity to learn. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he picks it up because he could be a real asset with his size and pace, you know, if he can pick up some of those other things. But one of the things that we see when you look at Jack is what we always talk about, which is the U.S. is great at building athletes like Kyrie. Look at this monster of a human being.
Yeah.
Who runs like, you know, he's a much smaller person. Look at someone like Jack. He's not lighting it up, you know, in the 400, you know, race or mm-hmm. the whatever the top 400 meter. You know, he's a good swimmer, but he's probably not like, you know, he doesn't hit the combine numbers. You know what I mean?
Wait, are you suggesting Kyrie is not a good swimmer because
he's black?
Some sort of stereotype. Yeah.
No, I meant Jack isn't a good swimmer.
Okay.
Because he's English. And the water's not cold enough for him to swim. No, I said, you know, Jack isn't like your athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But what he is he's a footballer. And you could see it when he's out there. He is built to play that game. He understands that game. You know, Americans, we build athletes. We can build a Kyrie. You know what I mean? But can we start turning these Kyries? If Kyrie had the mentality and skill set of Jack Harrison, he'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be an absolute force.
So, and this is what I'm saying. Like, guys like Kyrie can go become wide receivers, which are huge athletes, but don't involve a lot of, you know, sort of skill besides catching and running routes. Those are two main skills. Now, you have to be very good, guys like Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not taking anything away from these wide receivers, but Jack Harrison probably wouldn't make it in another sport. Maybe baseball, maybe if he, you know what I mean?
Because
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is built to play this sport.
Jack Harrison, I just think of Wayne Corbett in the Jets, you know, just running, just like nifty, but, you know, constantly getting concussions.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just getting crushed
every time. He's like, I didn't order this. And they're like, you did, actually. That's why there's four plates in front of you. You keep ordering it. You're really fucked up, bro. You feel bad for guys like that. But when you look at someone like Jack Harrison, I think now we're looking at it and we're saying, can this kid play for the U.S., please?
Yeah. And that's, after the match, that's what everyone was talking about. But, you know, Jack Harrison doesn't have he's not a citizen.
Not yet.
Not a green card. If he plays for the U.S., he would have to, it would have to be in 5 years because he hasn't lived here long enough.
No, but he's already lived here for 5 years.
I think it's 5 years after you get your green card. If I understood correctly, but maybe there's something. Look, get Obama.
He'll be playing for England.
Get Obama on the line. Do whatever you got to do. Get Loretta Lynch will vouch for him. He's good.
Loretta Lynch is like, if you don't allow him to play, we will arrest everyone in FIFA once again.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be a good threat. They'll listen.
I would love if we found out later that Loretta Lynch is just a massive USMNT fan.
Yeah, but so look, there's so much promise at NYCFC. That game changed the trajectory, I think, of the team's confidence, because look, they're in first. Everyone looked great. Villa was, I mean, there's a great photo of Villa cheering after the match to the supporter section. Absolute pride. He really, really did not want to lose that game.
No, I mean, you could see, like, there's been designated players, you know, maybe even on our own team, where people don't care, where they don't care. You know, they don't live and die by what the club does. They see this more of a vacation, you know, like, oh, here I am playing in this lower league. You know, Keane, I think, is one of those players. Javinko is one of those players that doesn't fit that mold. David Villa is another one of those players that just absolutely cares.
A winner. Yeah, he just
it breaks his heart.
I cannot stand losing.
No.
And I think, you know, last season, watching NYCFC and all the jokes of, oh, they just brought in all these old guys to try to make us some super team and whatever. And even to some degree, I did kind of agree with that.
Sure.
Partly
of course they did.
Because the effort wasn't really there. But then Vieira came in, and I think Vieira is just another guy who's like Villa.
Right.
Who just does not want to lose. And everybody is adapting to the system, is really allowing themselves to be coached. You know, in the beginning of the season, how critical were we of them playing out of the back? And how well did it work?
That was Villa's goal, came from playing out of the back.
And so it's good to see, because even honestly, the most and what I didn't expect from the difference from last season to this season is how truly amazing Pirlo has been. Pirlo has
right. He still looks like he's not playing.
He still looks. Yeah.
He looks like a super fan that walked out onto the pitch.
Yeah, like
he's dressed in all the gear.
Yeah, you think like you know, security's gonna go bum rush him? Like, this guy doesn't belong.
Hey, some full kid wanker just walked out onto the pitch. Hey, that guy can pass.
He looks like he's not giving any effort physically, but everything is working.
It's so frustrating.
He was evading so many Red Bulls with just minor, I mean, just tactical, perfect little nudges and moves, jukes like that. And it's so strange to me because I imagine, you know, I play some soccer here and there, right? And but athletically, right? If I'm like guarding somebody, for the most part, I think like, well, I can stay with him. Like, I can keep up with a 37-year-old man. That's athletically, I believe I can.
Right.
You know, it just because he's not fast.
Right.
Right. But
hey, he's not built for speed either. Like, so you're like, yeah, I think I could beat this guy in a foot race.
And a lot of the Red Bull midfielders are strong dudes.
And they're younger, much younger.
They're much younger. And they cannot predict what he's going to do. He's so elusive.
He's just like, he's got that wily veteranness to him.
He just, he was critical, you know, even after the first loss against the Red Bulls, he was very critical about how the MLS, tactically, they have no technique, you know, they don't know.
They're more run first.
Exactly.
They don't teach tactics until much later.
And then when you see that in play, when he's really just schooling dudes on how it's really done.
Think about it. He was doing this at the Serie A, which is probably one of the most technically gifted leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
He was able to do this and make them look like fools.
Yeah.
What he does to certain midfields is absolutely amazing.
So that's like, for me as a NYCFC fan, that was like the most exciting thing to see of just like how much of a leadership role that he's taken. Because I think under Kreis, I think he had that mentality like, all right, let me collect the check here. Let me see what New York is like.
Right.
You know, let's.
And for everyone who said that Christ wasn't the issue, maybe he wasn't, but we're looking at this now and going, Vieira is clearly a better option for these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For this team as it's made up.
The team is in first place.
Yeah, 27 points.
NYCFC didn't even sniff first place last season.
Well, only after the first match. After the first match, we played before everyone else. And then from there, it was a nice careening down towards the bottom.
So this is great to see.
Especially with teams like Columbus Crew. I mean, what happened to them, you know? Great match this past weekend. You know, the other Kamara.
The other Kamara guy. Yes, you just replaced just a clone, I believe.
Oh, Kamara wants to leave? Well, then get Kamara in here so you can replace Kamara.
Yeah, they have just under the pitch, they have like a brewing Kamaras.
Someone goes down there and waters them a little bit.
It looks like that scene in The Matrix where they pull out the people.
Right.
Just they're growing.
In pods.
Yeah, the pods. Look how different this, the table looks.
Absolutely. And, I will say, look, if NYCFC was playing in the West, they'd be in fourth place. That's how much better the West is right now,
which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
It suggests like the vast improvement. Absolutely. That even in the Western Conference, NYCFC is, I think, third in for the Supporter Shield.
Yeah. No, fourth right
fourth.
Now. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Are you kidding me?
That's
just
crazy.
Wait, we're within a shot.
It's an expansion team.
Yeah.
It just got here last year. That to be able to just improve that much is such a good sign.
FC Dallas looks great.
FC Dallas, very strong. They knocked off Colorado. Colorado's been first for a long time.
Yeah. And for what they did to Orlando, it's like, calm down, man. Give them a break. You know, 4-0? Jeez.
It's kind of what FC Dallas, the last couple of weeks, they haven't looked so strong. So this is a good sign that they're going in the right direction again.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about Colorado and welcoming back
Mr. America.
Secretary of Defense. Tim Howard is back in the MLS for the Colorado Rapids. He played his first match against the Portland Timbers on Independence Day. And
clean sheet, baby.
Clean sheet. Didn't look you know, he hasn't played much at Everton. He, you know, he didn't play much.
Well, I mean, he had like, you know, they stopped playing him so much towards the end.
Yeah.
So he's had a bit of a time off. You know, he gave himself a nice vacation.
Yes, he's basically rested. He only played one match in the Copa America, the third place game against Colombia.
Right, where we lost.
Oh, we lost. Only 1-0. So, yeah. But he, you know, it wasn't, I wouldn't blame him for the loss.
No, I wouldn't either.
But it's exciting to have him back, and yeah, and he is it's, you know, he left the league what, 10 years ago 11 years ago?
Yeah, Red Bull.
He was a Red Bull.
He's from New Jersey, actually.
Originally a Metro Star.
Yeah, sure.
Then a Red Bull, and then and he played, you know, he brought back that Premier League experience and confidence, and first game back already yelling his mind off.
Yeah.
At
taking control of that back line, which when you're a goalkeeper, that's part of your job.
Yeah, because if you show any, if you're meek, you're a little, you know, that goalkeeper position, you have to have a leadership mentality. You have to be able to criticize your back line when they make mistakes.
Put them in the right position, those things.
And he it was good. It was good to see. And Colorado probably does, you know, they were doing pretty well, so they don't, it's not like they needed him necessarily, but it's I'm just happy that he's back in the MLS. We made a video about it that you should watch. Just go on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, go to our YouTube channel, check that out, share it. That would also be very nice. The other thing that I like is that he's playing with Jermaine Jones. They have a lot of experience together. You can see that they're the two leaders on the pitch. Mm-hmm. You can just see that already just from watching that first match. And I think, you know, once he gets his feet wet a little bit there in Colorado, I think he's going to be just fine. I think the team is playing very, very well. You know, what better time than to have, you know, a monster of a goalkeeper come in. And I think they're just going to continue to do well. And they played Portland, and you know, Portland still looks really good.
But they
couple of missed shots. I mean, that one shot, was it Adi banging it off
Fernando
the post?
Adi, yeah, banging off the post. Yeah,
I mean, come on, you know, they're a good team. I mean, I don't know what's happening to them. 24 points. They're only four places off the bottom right now of the Western Conference. You know, they're not playing incredibly well, but they are such a good team.
They didn't have a good start to the season, and it's disappointing from Portland. They, you know, they expect so much more. They have such a great fan base.
Yeah.
But they could have easily won that game against Colorado. I mean, Timmy was good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a 0-0 draw, and Grabovoi off the post, Adi off the post.
Yeah, Grabovoi. I mean, you know, just dialed up a shot. No one really in front of him. And again, goes wide towards the far post. I mean, you know, hey, as an NYCFC fan, we remember those days.
That must be a weird position to be in when you're the goalkeeper. You're in first place and you get replaced, you know, by the DP. Who's I don't remember who is the keeper. I'm going to look it up right now. But that has to be, it has to hurt a little bit.
It's also, you know, I would be pissed, but, you know, you walk in, it's someone who plays for the national team. You're going to understand, right?
Zach McMath.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you got someone better.
It's weird, though, because, I mean, yeah, he is better.
Yeah.
But it's like,
he's staring at the team photo, crying.
But I'm still really good, you know? I mean, this is, we were talking about Kevin Durant coming to the Golden State Warriors. Ugh. Like, it is completely unnecessary, right?
Yeah. They don't. Oh, good for them. Yeah.
They clearly do not. This is not a player they need.
No.
So bringing him, it's like, all right, well, yeah. I mean, soccer is obviously different.
I said it reminded me of like when Robin Van Persie went from Arsenal to Manchester United.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the team that beat you. Not necessarily to win it all or whatever, but, you know, you're going there specifically to win cups, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking annoying.
Yeah, I mean, Independence Day was when Kevin Durant announced that he
made himself independent of Oklahoma. Yeah.
he made July 4th about him. There was nobody else was talking about anything else. It was like, America, what? I don't know.
God bless Golden State. The other thing that I loved what happened when he did retire is almost immediately Tim Duncan announced that he's most likely retiring.
Oh yeah,
he was like, wait, what? I ain't playing.
I'm good. Yeah.
Nah, man, what's the point?
I think that's a lot of teams feel now. It's like, yeah, what's the point? Because we were talking about this off air, like this idea of building a super team, right? And like how, like where this doesn't really happen. This sort of happens in soccer where you...
Yeah, like you have the Galacticos, right? Like Real Madrid getting all these, you know, famous players, Beckham and Raul and...
Yeah, but even still, given that there's more players, right? There's 11 players. So one player can't really affect the game so drastically.
Right.
Right? Where as in basketball... There's only five guys on the team, and one person can absolutely dominate a game. We see LeBron James. LeBron James went his first stint with the Cavaliers in the playoffs. What was it? I forgot. Was it against Boston or something or Detroit when he scored like 22 points in a row? Like,
right.
So this is very possible,
right.
Where one player can affect the team so drastically. But in soccer, that's not really realistic.
If there's one team that maybe understands how OKC feels, it's Dortmund.
Okay.
Because every year players announce midway through the season that they're going to go play for Bayern. It's like, could you let it go until the end?
I would argue even that one bad player on a really good team is more of a catastrophic effect than one really good player on a bad team.
In soccer,
yes.
Yeah, for sure.
One bad player.
There's the weak in the chain.
And yeah. They will always go after
right.
it. So the team dynamic, the tactics
right.
are more important than one player as opposed
sure.
to in basketball where one dude could be like, I'm running this fourth quarter. Nobody, you're not touching the ball.
Right. Give me the damn ball. Like you don't have that in soccer.
Exactly.
Yeah, soccer is a team sport.
Exactly.
Yeah. That makes a good point. You have to. You can't have a weak link.
Anyway,
which on this podcast is us keeping time.
Well, anyway, still Kevin Durant, you probably shouldn't have gone to that team. Any other?
Robin Van Persie's like, good move, bro. Go get yours. Who cares if they hate you?
All right, everybody. Let's talk. We'll do Cooligan's Corner next up. We'll just round up some of the stories, that slipped through the cracks all over global soccer. I think we're going to talk a lot of Mourinho.
Oh, yeah.
Mourinho is back.
He came back hardcore. He's like, hard body. Give me the mic.
He just dropped the mic right
picked it back up, got some more shit in it, and then dropped it again.
Exactly. He spoke so loud into the mic, Pep Guardiola heard it. Yeah, he's making some noise in Manchester.
Oh, man.
All right,
get off Arsene's back.
All right, we'll be right back with Cooligan's Corner. Damn, Alexis, you look amazing.
Damn, Christian, I was going to say the same thing about you. You're practically glowing.
Dude, I got to know. Did you lose weight?
Did you just shave?
Did you get a new haircut?
Did you get your teeth whitened?
Did you get a face tattoo?
Did you get bicep implants?
You know, I think it's that we're both wearing these great shirts from On the Volley Apparel.
That's right. Not only are On the Volley clothes super comfortable, they have some amazing designs.
Yeah, they're all soccer inspired, like their shirt with the Wu-Tang logo that has a soccer pitch in it.
Dude, that's one of my favorites. You know what? We got to let our fans know that they could save 20% off any order with the promo code THECOOLIGANS, all one word, just by going to VAFootballClub.com.
That is huge. 20% off any order of On the Volley apparel at VAFootballClub.com just by using the promo code THECOOLIGANS, all one word. That's a great deal.
Yeah, our listeners are really lucky. Hey, you don't think this tattoo of Elsa on my face looks stupid, do you?
Nah, man, of course not. Hey, do you think it's weird that my doctor added nipples to my bicep implant? Hey, guys.
Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner. Corner.
Yeah. We got a lot of stuff that we didn't get to touch base on the last two segments, so it's going to be more rapid fire. Yeah, wow. Bad. Real bad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a child pretending to be a gun is what you just...
But a laser gun. You know what was interesting about 4th of July? A lot of kids running around with, those like glowing sticks or whatever, like that people run around with, like little toys.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah, yeah. So similar, but they flash in different colors, but they were little kids with like these swords that glow in all these different colors, but they also make a noise every time you swing it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. they go about.
Every time you, you know, thrust and you throw. Yeah. But then these kids, and they wouldn't stop. They're just,
oh my God.
Everything. And it's, and
you grab it, break it over your leg like a baseball bat, hand it back to them.
Yeah. And it's a, and part of me is like, I was a child. I knew what fun. Like, I mean, it's good. He's not a kid on an iPad, you know, disconnected from humanity.
Right.
He's like, you know.
But right now, you wish you could silence this like you could an iPad.
Give this kid an iPad.
Yeah, come on. He's ruining my good time. See, this is your problem was you went out, right? I stayed in on 4th of July because I know it's an absolute mess. Before we start with Cooligan's Corner, hey, shout out to Chattanooga FC.
Chattanooga.
Go out there and shoot some nougat. Chattanooga FC, 18,000 fans. None of these players are being paid. This is an amateur team.
Yeah, yeah. This has been happening with a couple of different cities where they're getting huge crowds for teams with that you don't really think of people who are interested in soccer. But right. FC Cincinnati is another one.
Huge.
Every game. I mean
those
like,
players are paid at least.
Yeah, but 20,000 people.
There's a bunch of UPS delivery guys and accountants out there. 18,000 people.
Yeah, but these cities that you don't really think can attract a soccer fan base are really doing it.
So for everyone who's out there doubting. You know that America is a soccer country. It's coming.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Now we just need 18,000 people to show up for Cooligan's FC every Sunday.
Yeah, NYC footy, guys. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
First thing, we mentioned Mourinho.
I Papa Freaks all the honeys.
Jose, as they say in England, Jose Mourinho.
Yeah,
he is back. He had his first.
It's Jose, if you're Portuguese, which he is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
They pronounce the J like that. The J.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Jose Mourinho. He is back in the Premier League. He is. We all know he's the manager for Manchester United, and really getting comfortable in that seat already.
Yeah. If, let me just say this. What about Christian's about to read? If you didn't hate Manchester United before, here it comes.
Yeah. So. I mean, they, you know, you don't, when you think of Manchester United, you don't really, I don't know in my memory of, I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson was a more cordial.
A class above.
Yes. He was just a gentleman.
Right.
Calm man who.
Sportsman.
You know, he would, when he would speak to the press, yes, I'm sure he could be frustrated with him at times. Yeah,
he could be sharp, he could be cutting, but he was always classy.
Yeah, exactly. And when you hire Mourinho...
Has that continued?
No, he did not pass that torch to Mourinho. He tried to pass the torch to him, and Mourinho just threw it on the ground.
Mourinho used it, lit one of the curtains on fire, and walked out of the room. So, Red Devils.
Mourinho had his first press conference, and I just pulled out my favorite of his quotes.
Here we go.
So, first up, they asked him about just his time and how he feels his sort of legacy is going to go in Manchester United, what his tenure is going to be like there, and he didn't waste any time at a little dig at Arsene Wenger.
Here it comes.
So he goes, some managers. I'm gonna just read this as sarcastically as possible. But he goes, some managers. The last time they won a title was 10 years ago. Some of them never. The last time I won a title was a year ago. So if I have a lot to prove, imagine the others. So really, he went in shots fired single manager. He has guns on both arms just firing everywhere.
He rips down a picture of Arsene Wenger. He's like, next question. He's claiming victims as he goes. I mean, look, Arsene Wenger doesn't carry himself this way. Arsene has stooped to this level before because of things like this. And it's, you know, this... As much as I hate it as an Arsenal fan, if you're not an Arsenal fan, if you're a Manchester United fan or a fan of any other team, or especially if you're a Tottenham fan, this has to excite you. This has to make the league a little better. And I can't imagine anything more fun.
And this is what he does. This is what he brings.
This is exactly what he brings.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like a wrestling promo every time he talks.
Exactly.
You know, and look, him and Pep in the same city. This is going to be good. I mean, this is just a taste.
So, I mean, it's great that he's already getting started. He also received a question about Wayne Rooney. And when we were talking about this on the last episode, it sort of made me a little happy hearing him say this, because I was very critical of Wayne Rooney as a midfielder.
Sure.
You know, in general at the Euros, not really not his best showing, not totally playing out of position.
Right.
And they asked Mourinho about what he, you know, what, how is he going to use Wayne Rooney? And he talked a lot. He said a bunch of good things about how he's only 30 years old. He's still hungry. He is a true competitor. But he also mentioned about he was talking about him being a midfielder. And he goes, Mourinho quote says, "Yes, his passing is amazing, but mine is also amazing without any pressure."
Yeah.
Many players have a great pass, but to put the ball in the net is the most difficult. He being Wayne Rooney, he will be a number nine, a number 10, a 9.5, but never a number 6 or a number 8. So he did wow. not, you know,
he doesn't mince words.
Yeah. A lot of times people, even like, you know, what we see American coaches sort of, you never really want to put any of your players down. You say that in private, you tell them exactly how you feel, but to the media, you don't criticize your other players very, right. like at least this, not this like accurately, you know, this is like, wow, yeah. Jose. Yeah. I mean, we were all thinking it, but yeah.
Hold back a little. Well, it's like, you know, the show, what is it? Like, what is it? What's it called? Like, Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they follow the team.
Mm-hmm.
There's cameras there and the coaches still don't say this stuff in the locker room because there's cameras there. Every time Jose's on, he's like, "Let me show you how it's done."
Yeah, not the.
What do you think? Of course he's garbage. Of course he's banging his players, you know, his friend's wife. He's an absolute piece of trash. What's your next question? I mean, he is clearing up. They don't have a cap, but he's clearing up cap space left and right.
Yeah,
he's just annoying other managers. He's annoying his own players.
It's great. I mean, the dude is authentic, and no matter where he goes,
what you get is what you get with him too. Yeah. I mean, I don't like him, but you can't hate him.
Yeah, the thing is when he is. Winning, this looks great.
Yeah.
And we saw in Chelsea last season.
Ooh, when it goes bad.
When it goes badly, it's really, really bad. So
yeah.
It's cool to hear him talk like this and you know, and speak the truth because he is going to absolutely... I mean, Manchester United is going to be a completely different team. Ibrahimovic, like, also, he mentioned that's official. Ibrahimovic is going to Manchester United. So we're going to have the Ibra-Rashford connection. I mean, it's going to... Martial, I mean, it's going to be surreal what
this
team is going
to
look like.
It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I personally hope it goes bad again because, to me, that was just as much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Chelsea fans are irate right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to feel a little, you know, the Golden State Warriors of the Premier League.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
I can see that, especially since we're all starting to hate Golden State.
Yeah, how quickly. They went from the most likable team.
Golden hate Warriors.
Not bad. I think it works.
Not bad.
Next up, let's talk about a little bit of Argentina. Argentina, we saw them in the Copa America, had their collapse in the penalties, lost again.
The collapse continues.
To Chile. Yeah, it is still crumbling. They are not rebuilding a thing.
No, not at all.
Pieces are still falling apart. Just recently, as of today, the coach, Tata Martino, has resigned from the Argentine national team. Due to all the turmoil in Argentina with the Argentine federal the association, with the football association.
Right. I mean, you know, it seems like he's the last person to leave. You know,
Like
he's playing violin on the Titanic.
He has third degree burns. Yeah. Like, why? We left a while ago, man. Yeah. Why are you?
Homie, we're all out here. Everyone's gonna play for Uruguay. Get over here.
What are you doing?
I mean, but also you said Aguero, right?
Yeah. So Sergio Aguero's father announced that he, on some Argentinian radio station, said that if Messi leaves, that Aguero will also be leaving with him. So, I mean, look, Argentina, the problems are as we're seeing, are much, much larger than just the 11 on the field. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Messi's missed penalty.
There's so many things going on. One of the real reason Martino quit wasn't because of losing in the Copa America, was because there was so much confusion with preparing for the Olympics. They apparently have no organization of who the squad is going to be.
Right.
And the Olympics are like 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
And they have no idea who's going.
Yeah.
And now this is even worse. They have no... Will they have to like resign? I mean, there's such chaos going on in Argentina with their football association that they don't even know who they're going to field in the Olympics.
This is like their own Brexit thing. Everyone's quitting. Nobody wants to actually, like, you know, start, you know, sort of backing out of the EU and England.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to be in charge of that. I'm out of here. Everyone who made all those promises are gone. Same thing with Argentina. Their club is like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this. You go ahead and figure it out.
I it's surprising that they haven't figured this out, because FIFA is basically had to step in and is handling everything for them.
Right.
But apparently there was so much corruption that they
can't figure anything out.
They can't
out.
Figure anything out.
You know what I say? Send Boca. Just send Boca in there.
Oh,
just
the Boca Juniors, yeah.
Just send the Boca Juniors in there.
I said send Loretta Lynch to go fix everything in Argentina.
You know what? Loretta Lynch passes the ball to Di Maria to Higuain.
Take a couple Spanish lessons, she'll be fine, you know?
She's better than no one, which is what they have right now.
Well, I mean, yeah. Hopefully Argentina can figure this out, because this is crazy.
Remember that video we posted of the five guys sitting on the couch yelling at the TV? Send those guys in.
Yeah, I think they'll have the passion to, like, field a pretty solid squad.
Peludo, ya que.
Yeah, they'll be Peludo. Critical. Next up, let's congratulate Toronto FC for winning the Canadian Voyagers Cup, or the Canadian Cup.
The Canadian U.S. Open Cup, if you will.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they won't be happy that I said that. Look, they won something.
Yeah, they won something. They defeated Vancouver. The Vancouver Whitecaps in the second leg.
Did they make the playoffs last year?
They did. That was the first time.
So look at this. Everything changes. You get Javinko. Look what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe they did it without Javinko, by the way. Will Johnson? Will Johnson just shredded his knee apart.
That's right. So they were down. On aggregate, 2-1. They were up 1-0 on aggregate.
Yeah.
And then, but during the game, they were down 2-0. So they needed the away goal to for the tiebreaker and to win it. And they did it in absolutely spectacular fashion.
Right at the last second.
95th minute, technically.
Yeah.
Just a prayer, you know, the Hail Mary, and then
Beautiful shot. The keeper parries it away.
Well, the keeper tried to catch it.
Right, it sort of bounced around.
He tried to catch it, and his own player ran into him, in which he was absolutely furious. But the keeper, that you don't try to catch it.
Right.
And there's so much confusion.
So many people over there.
You don't try to catch that ball. Right. And he punched it away. He tried to catch it. His own defender knocked it out of the way.
Right. So he was pretty far off from goal when the ball sort of trickled in front of the beautiful run of Will Johnson. It was coming full speed.
Yeah.
So the keeper gets up and kind of just throws his body in the direction of the ball, because he wouldn't been able to get a hand on it.
Correct.
So he's sort of trying to block it. And let's just say that this 6 foot something man's entire body comes into the knee of Will Johnson, the planted knee of Will Johnson, mm-hmm. as his body is careening forward still.
Yeah.
So two momentums hit really right at the knee. And instead of celebrating, he is writhing in pain on the floor.
Yeah, a great, great shot.
Oh my God. Just a great strike.
It reminded me of Landon Donovan against Algeria a little bit.
Last minute,
just really, really exciting play.
That type of way. It seemed like everyone else was standing still. That kind of thing.
I mean, and Vancouver, what a shock. I mean, you had
it in the bag.
You had it right there. All the keeper makes a better decision on that ball.
Yeah.
And the game is over. I know he wanted to secure it to end the game, but
even if he just punched it.
You punch it, the game would have been over.
Even if it was just like a corner you give up. You know?
So super, super disappointing for Vancouver. I mean, the players were like Bolaños, Everett, crying, absolutely just crying on the pitch.
Right.
And that's good on Toronto. I mean, I think Toronto needed it more. So now they make it to they're in the CONCACAF Champions League. But I think now they can focus more on the MLS season, because they haven't been too steady, and it's probably because of the U.S. Open. I mean, the Canadian Cup.
Well, they gave up that beautiful goal to Keane. Oof.
Who gave up that? Vancouver, in the MLS. Yes.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, hopefully now they can focus on that. And come on, Vancouver, you bottled it in the last second. You feel terrible when your own players are crying, but you got the MLS still.
Yeah. And NYCFC had the MLS immediately. They were like, no, we don't want to have anything.
Here's a cup. Why? Why waste our time?
Yeah. We didn't really talk about that loss, but that was Patrick Vieira took a lot of responsibility. He took the blame for it. He said he thought his players, the players that he fielded, would have been able to win that game, and they didn't. Poku, it was up front, it was Poku.
Bellucci was there.
Bellucci played in the midfield. It was up front, it was Poku, Mullins, and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And they just they couldn't produce anything. Oof. So he blamed himself because, you know, we had, there was, you know, Villa, Pirlo, nobody played.
Yeah, and by the way, just to confirm, we didn't talk about it, but Poku did get purchased by Miami FC.
That's right.
The number that everyone seems to kind of agree on is somewhere around $750,000. And he was making $60,000+ this year, and he's getting paid six figures.
Yeah.
So he got a raise by going down a level. I don't get it. And I think they showed, they're showing it this year on TV. NASL has struck a deal with CBS. And,
yes, he played his first game. He played, I believe, the first 60 minutes, and right. He got subbed off.
You know, barely anyone in the stands. So, you know, maybe Chattanooga FC will buy him for $300,000.
Yeah, we're going to miss you, Poku, man. Yeah,
we miss you. This league makes no sense. Soccer in the U.S. sometimes makes zero sense. Very, but congratulations. Strange. A championship-level team would not buy someone from the Premier League and pay him more, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that's fine. Here we are.
And finally, for our final story on Cooligan's Corner, this is a big one, and it's going to be a lot to unpack, but so please stay with us.
Yeah, I'll try to make it brief.
Yes. But if you've been reading about just soccer news in general, you may have seen a lawsuit. So basically, a certain group of U.S. youth soccer clubs, yes. You know, these young academies that train the players, are suing the MLS Players Union and a couple of specific players, DeAndre Yedlin, Michael Bradley, and Clint Dempsey. Yeah. So they're suing them for...
Well, they're named in the suit.
They're named in the suit.
Right.
Referring to those three players trained with those specific youth like groups, those camps, those academies. And
non-club associated academies.
Yeah. So they want... They basically want... as it works in Europe... you have an academy. If there's a player that, let's say Chelsea's like, hey, that player in their academy, we want that guy. He's really good.
Yeah.
If they purchase him, the academy should make some money and they get paid for that.
And really the way it works in Europe is, let's say, you know, a no-name town like Swindon Town. We mentioned them earlier. Mm-hmm. Let's say Swindon Town in League One finds a kid like Robson Kanu in the local, you know, space. Has him, you know, signs him, has him train with the team. And let's say Arsenal walks by and says, whoa, that kid looks great. We want to buy him. If Arsenal were to sell him to Barcelona, which happens a lot, unfortunately, Swindon Town is owed a part of that fee, a small part, as a solidarity payment, saying thank you for doing your job. It's a way a lot of these smaller clubs survive when they're more of a selling club, is because they're constantly getting paid as these players are continuously moving around all of Europe. So in the U.S., because we don't have lower leagues in that sense, and we don't have this like just infiltration of all these teams everywhere, like in England, you know, there's three teams in every town. Here we don't have that. So what we have are these smaller academies that don't have a professional MLS or NASL team associated with them. Like Crossfire is the one in Seattle that DeAndre Yedlin played for. They helped train him. DeAndre Yedlin came in as a homegrown player, barely playing for the Seattle Sounders Academy. He was, for the lack of a better term, besides his college experience, a Crossfire player. So Crossfire sold him to the Academy, the Sounders Academy, after, you know, because he had the contract. So they are owed a small part of that money that got paid by Tottenham when they bought him from Seattle. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. We sold them to you. Now we keep making money every time they're sold. It's a little bit like, you know, like not a pyramid scheme, but it's like now we owe still a small part.
Because, you know, especially in an American youth academy, where would they even get their money? You know, like they need that. That's how you make their money. That's how it happens all over the world.
So as more players get bought and bought and bought and American players are getting better, it's really the onus is to pay these smaller clubs, I think, because they're doing the hard job of finding most of these players. These are free scouts.
Yeah,
you have to pay them for the player, but these guys are doing the job up front. So you go ahead and you buy them. But if you remember, all right, so MLS got sued by players a while ago. It was called the Frazier case, if you ever bring it up.
In 1998.
Yeah. So they wanted to break apart the single entity system. Apparently, they're not allowed to. It wasn't a monopoly. It's not considered a monopoly. It's considered a single entity. And the law says that it's okay that MLS is playing within their they're doing right within the law.
Yeah.
So one of the things that came about in this, and there was a lot that came about, one of the things was that the MLS didn't have to pay solidarity payments, but FIFA rules state that you're supposed to. So Crossfire and Dallas Texans and a couple of these other youth clubs whose players have been sold on came together and have filed a petition with FIFA. FIFA has heard their complaints. The big thing was FIFA, apparently everyone said that FIFA would never hear their complaint. They did. They're going to come out with a ruling. Now, MLS wants to stay in the confines of FIFA. They're doing a couple things that aren't FIFA regulated, like they're not playing in the winter window. They're supposed to play in the winter window. Mm-hmm. They're not playing, well, in the winter months. They're not playing in the winter months. They're playing in the summer because they don't want to compete with the NFL. And a lot of their owners are NFL, owners. Yeah. So it makes sense to play in the summer. There's a couple other things. One of the things is a single entity that the FIFA doesn't want. FIFA wants promotion and relegation. They don't have that. Solidarity payments is something that FIFA states that if you want to be considered a FIFA, team, you want your players to be in FIFA, the whole nine, you got to follow these rules. They haven't followed a lot of them, and FIFA's given them a pass in the past. Now comes this other thing, the solidarity payment. What is FIFA going to say? Are they going to continue to turn a blind eye to MLS, or are they going to fall on the side of the players? We don't know. MLS has sort of softened the way they speak about solidarity payments. The one part that hasn't is the MLS Players Union, which I do not understand why they are so staunchly against it. They say that this is, extortion.
It's a shakedown.
It's a shakedown, and that we won't play, and that if they do, we're going to sue for antitrust. And they're saying, well, it's going to make our players too expensive, and European teams would rather buy someone else than buy an American. This has nothing to do with the money you pay for the player. Now, I'm sure a club will want to negotiate more because, they understand it's like paying a tax. I have this tax, so I need to charge a little more because I'm going to lose money. It's like when you sell something on Amazon, on eBay, you'd be like, oh yeah, shipping costs $10 instead of $5, so you can make a little bit of extra money. That American clubs may start doing that, maybe, but this has nothing to do on the backs of the players. The players should be sending money to these small clubs, and not as charity. They should be doing it by way of being so good that they're sold, and those clubs, huge amounts of money that these clubs make are going back to these small town clubs. Like, when Alexis Sanchez got sold to Arsenal, one of the things that he was so proud of was how much money his original club in Chile, this tiny little club in Chile, made. Yeah. It saved that club. That's one of the reasons why he even wanted to move. Like, these are the things that carry on the tradition of soccer in small cities all over the world and develop amazing players like Alexis Sanchez. What is happening here that we decide we don't want to do that? So hopefully the players union calm the fuck down. And if you are the players union, you didn't do shit during the CBA. If you're the players, you're looking at them going, what the fuck have you done for us so far? Nothing. You cowered in front of the MLS. We barely got free agency. We didn't get anything we wanted. It's still a single entity. Yeah, we went from 30,000 to 60,000, but what does that mean? Now we could supersize our value meals? You were soccer players. You didn't do anything for us before, and now you're trying to hurt the people that helped build these players into the, have the ability where they don't have to have a real job, and they could run around the world and kick a ball for a living. What are you doing? If you're this, what is his name, Foos? Yeah. You're this Foos guy. You failed during the CBA. You're failing now. This isn't an open mic. You can't. You got to go up and do your A, babe.
Yeah, this is my grasp, because it was sort of difficult to understand. And I was talking to you off air about, like, I don't really understand who's angry.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, who? Why would anybody be like? This seems like sort of standard. But now that I'm even, hearing you it helps me understand it a little more. And it really just sounds like it's a power struggle.
Certainly is.
Where the advantage that, like, it reminds me of NCAA, right? NCAA wants to ensure that there's amateur athletes.
Right. They don't want anybody to get paid.
No, they want nobody to get paid, so because they're amateur, and they jump through every hoop they can to explain how, no, they can't, they shouldn't be paid because blah, blah, blah. And it sounds like that's what's happening here, where it's like, no, they're too young and they don't want to be paid. But and we had another episode where we talked about another article about how soccer is basically just a rich white sport in
here it is
in the US because of pay to play. When you want these academies, the way they make their money and the way they shouldn't be making their money is from the players themselves. The players' family has to pay money. This is why we can't develop talent.
Right. I mean, we're not going to find incredible talent every time in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. You have to get out of the middle class, yeah. whether it's go up into the, you know, the one percentage, which I highly doubt you're going to find a lot of talent there, but you got to go down into the,
just Trump's kids. Why can't they be great?
Good God.
Ivanka.
Please don't let them even hear the word soccer so they don't buy a club. But, you know, we need to start going into places where these, where there's kids that don't have other interests. Hearing, you know, MLS first round picks go, oh, I decided to do this instead of finance. You're like, this kid's got, he could have made $200,000 out of the gate, you know, doing blow off of hookers in Vegas. He's not thinking about playing in Dallas or in Houston in the summer. You know what I mean? Like, we need to start finding the kids that have a hunger and love the sport, have a passion for it, and have nothing else.
But those kids that are passionate about
they can't afford crossfire in the town. So why shouldn't these clubs be paying?
Because at the very least, like, let's say, you know, if these academies don't get everything they want. Let's say they get 50% of the money that they're hoping they can get. That's less money that they have to ask the players and the players' families to
play.
And
maybe you don't. And maybe the coaches could be paid a little more. Maybe you can find better coaches.
Exactly.
And if you're the MLS Players Union, how big of an idiot is this? But maybe there's something I don't understand that I'm not privy to. But if you're this Foose guy, how is this guy a lawyer?
Yeah.
This might be the dumbest way. If you can find a way to ding a bit, a hole in the cast iron, you know, armor that the MLS has right now in the form of that Frazier case saying that they're not a monopoly. If you can find a way to take a little bit of the way of that without harming them, you as a players union become stronger. Look at the players union everywhere else. Look at how much these bums are making in the NBA. I think I almost got a 3-year, $34 million contract thrown at me, you know, just for sitting in the stands. Good hot dogs you're eating there, buddy.
Yeah.
I like it. You know what I mean? That's what a players union, when they have power, can do.
Yeah.
You're not doing that if you're the players union and you allow MLS to keep the single entity. Part of that is the solidarity payments. If you make them pay that, you start to crumble it away. I want to see a big, powerful MLS, but I also want to see a very successful, amazing level of skill. I want to see everyone getting a chance, and I want to see these players making a bit more money.
And it has to come from, I mean, this is almost a very strong argument for, like, the Republican trickle down theory. This is almost necessary in soccer. The big clubs have to support.
Well, this is more, actually, it's more, you know, slightly bit more, I guess, socialist in the sense that you're forced to pay down. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. So, but the idea of it trickling down, you have to pay those smaller
clubs. And those clubs build these players.
Yeah, it's an investment for the future. You know, and you know, the European clubs know this. They know that it's like, I might be spending. Yeah, we have to pay them 50,000 euros. To this small club. Yeah, we don't want to spend that money, but in 10 years, they might develop a superstar that we can get.
Right.
And why not? And
think about all
that superstar is going to make us more money than that 50K that we get.
Yeah,
gave.
Of course. I mean, that's a couple of if you're Arsenal, that's a couple of shirts that Alexis Sanchez sold.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. And it's not adding more money to the clubs. What it's doing is making you pay a little bit back to these clubs that, you know, so they don't have to, like you said, take it off the back of a kid who can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
So come on. Maybe it pays for the travel for these kids and they could go play better competition. You're being stupid if you're the MLS Players Union, because guess what these kids are going to turn into? More players for you.
Yeah, because
you dumbass, more fees. You dumbass.
The argument that this is going to affect the players and they're not going to be able to be bought and sold and European, you know, clubs are not going to want them. That's such a just nonsense. It's just absolutely. All it is them saying, no, we don't want to spend the money.
Please don't.
It's like, but by having that philosophy, you are holding down the MLS. You're really stifling it from really
100%.
Reaching its potential.
100%.
Man, we knocked this out of the park.
Yeah, we did it all. We did it all today.
This was a legal show.
Again, if you need legal advice, call Alexis. He'll curse you out.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We had another lovely episode of The Cooligans.
And to all our new listeners, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for all the kind words everyone's been posting about my TV set, which I finally posted on Facebook.
Finally.
Thank you very much. It's also on YouTube if you go to Alexis Guerrero's.
Watch it. It just knocked it out of the park. Thank you. Norm MacDonald was impressed.
He said he brought me up as a cool again. It's pretty impressive.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And thanks again for the MLS for listing us on your podcast list.
How great.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
I'm Christian Polanco. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all forms of social media. You can email us at soccercooligans@gmail.com. Remember, if you email, if you want a sticker, a Cooligan sticker, just email us at soccercooligans@gmail.com. Let us know where you want it sent, and we'll send it right over.
That's right. And I hope you had fun listening to the
Cooligans!